All right. So this evening, I'm going to leave my mask off. I think it's hard enough. So good things. Anyone?
Went to the ball game.
School started back for a lot of high schoolers today. First day high school.
Fourth first day of school. We have our fifth first day tomorrow.
That is funny. It is our fourth first day. It was the first time that one of my kids in like 10 years now hasn't worn their cheer uniform on the first day, because technically they've already had a first day. But other than that, and I heard it went really well. I think for some, maybe mine, the change in direction in the hallways was something new. But I think other than that, it sounded like it was a good day, and things went smooth, I hope. I don't know if they're enough here. But I think...
$2,300 worth of new.
Huh?
I said that's $2,300 worth of new.
Yeah. All the signs.
The signs and labeling.
Just on that campus.
Yeah. Did they, just question, I don't think it matters, but did they bake in an extra minute or two to get to classes just because they have to go around now?
I'm not sure. We added 5 minutes in the beginning of the day and 5 minutes at the end, so I think there's some additional time built in for transition to that. I mean, I think
that's fine. No, it's okay. I was just curious.
4 minutes?
They didn't give extra time because the halls are a whole lot thinner. They don't want people walking in the halls.
Gotcha.
Yeah, no visiting. They moved them along. Probably.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she said she went up the stairs and her class was right there, and so she was going, and somebody's like, no! So she had to go all the way around. I don't know if she was late, but she'll learn. She'll get over it.
They're giving grace until they figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I think it was a good day. And yeah, the game was good practice. Good opportunity to get the teams together.
It was a great game.
It was nice to have the cheerleaders.
Yeah, yeah, it was. It was very nice. I'm going to have one more good thing, just a commend. I know that we have some new staff, and I'm going to call her out, but like Miss Lugie, I was so impressed with Miss Lugie last week, being new at the high school, and you know, but you've been a counselor for so many years, and you know the ins and the outs and the A to Z and 17 ways backwards, right? But for a brand new staff member at that high school level, is this her second year? Well, either way, she's pretty new into it, and I was very impressed with how well she was handling certain, you know, changes last week. So
I just think this year is just new for everyone.
Yes,
and
yeah.
And I think that if people don't adapt, then, you know, I think you have to keep an open mind about it all.
Yeah.
Because even though you do something for a really long time, you can still, you know, keep a closed mind and think, I like the way it was. Well, it's not going to be the way it was before. So,
inspect and
adapt.
Yeah, I was really very impressed first or second year to just be as in the know.
The hardest thing with the mask that I know where I'm working is that the kids really do wear their masks, but you can't see facial expressions. So for you know, someone, I think teaching and counseling, you're used to that, and that's part of how you create relationships with kids. So, you know, I think that's something that may change or may not change anything. Maybe you just have to come up with better words.
Well, masks aren't going to be here forever, Suzanne. I'm just speaking it. It can't be. Because I can't do it.
So, audience participation. We do not have any that I've been aware of, so I'm just going to take a seat. So, participants must have signed up prior to board meeting start time. Participants may address the board on any agenda item. Participation is limited to 3 minutes to make comments to the board, unless participant requires the use of a translator, in which case participation is limited to 6 minutes. The board will only consider complaints that remain unresolved after being addressed through proper administrative channels, and when they have been placed on the agenda. Please note, the Board of Trustees shall not deliberate, respond, or make decisions regarding any subject that is not included on the agenda that is posted. For further information on these requirements, contact Katie Key, Superintendent Secretary, at 281-689-4441. So to start off quickly, we have an action item number 7.
This has happened every year since I've been here. We closed the campuses down, the district down, on 26, 27, 28 of August, 2 for Hurricane Laura and 1 for potential electricity outage and energy. And so we'll just need the board to have a resolution of proposals so that we can pay those employees, or pay our staff under the cost. Those that were called into work will be paid out of the government according to this report policy.
Jason, to approve the bad weather pay resolution for Hurricane Laura as presented. All those voting in favor, please raise your right hand. Okay, motion carries 5-0. We're within a minute still, right? Is that going to push us to, can you get the minutes? Yes, no. Okay. All right, so next we have is the agenda review for the regular meeting on September 21st. So let's move to that.
So the handle with care presentation is something that Montgomery County is wanting to do. Adam contacted me about that a couple of weeks ago. They're wanting to come in and talk about the need to work with the county and the CPS reports just to kind of give us an update on what needs to happen in those cases. And so there's a program called Handle with Care that we want to do a presentation. So that's a couple of things. So that is what that is.
Is that to staff or to
you?
Oh, to us?
Yeah, to you. Similar to when Laura Bond came in and talked about the
sex trafficking and even.
This is more about, you know, district's responsibility with CPS and how the courts can work for the district.
So this is not, it's not required by TEA or it's just them. That's good. Could you include, because I know it just always comes up, but the one, this is great, thank you, by the way, but since it comes up often, could you maybe include a paragraph at the bottom about open recs and so forth, like where we're at on hiring and who's where, that kind of thing?
No problem.
Maybe, just because I know it comes up probably every meeting.
Yeah,
that would be helpful. Well, this is good.
Down to,
see?
I have one. He's still good. U of H. Academy UHD in November, and we have started the background check on a Hispanic female. I think I jumped through 1,000 hoops to find this person, but I'm hoping everything so far, unless something crazy comes up in her background, looks good for that. So I'm hoping to have 2 here by the end of the year, and then we will be so much full. And
if you can find one, hang on to them because they are scarce right now.
I know.
Police officers as a whole.
No, end of the calendar year. Yeah. I'll have to send them to Splendora for a few weeks because, I kind of want to get hands-on a little bit that you may not get here for several months. But, no, I'm...
Just send them my way, too. I have 4 FTOs ready to go.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
We normally get 26 applicants to 30 applicants. We got 2 our last time, and one guy wasn't even a cop. He's like, sounds good. What do I got to do? He's like, you got to be a cop.
As long as you promise not to steal my female. So.
And we used to ask. Things have changed. We used to ask, we used to disqualify them if they smoke weed. Now it's, Did you smoke weed yesterday?
Yeah. Oh, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This generation.
Yeah. You're right. If you find one, you keep them, because I don't want to go anywhere else. We haven't done truancy yet. We've been doing residency checks, kind of per school. I guess just figure out where the kids are at this point. But truancy is a component I want to add. I just hadn't.
Okay. So we had talked with Dr. Barnes and Kevin was in that meeting. I think you were in that meeting, and Mr. DeBrock, and so they were working on a process. So it was our intention this past year to hire a truancy officer. We didn't do that, obviously.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, that's part of their productivity. So.
I thought that's what you already had. That's why. I thought you'd already had that. Like this.
Yeah, it's in motion.
And then I also, unless I'm not seeing it, just missing it. The dogs. Is that on here? Just the.
I don't have dogs yet because our dogs now are going to be Precinct 4 and Splendors, and I just haven't.
So we haven't had, well, obviously today's the first day that they're back on campus, but will that be a piece on here?
That's the first month they've done it, and so I've already found some things I want to adjust. Just once they start filling in tally marks and I realize, okay, I want it to say this instead of that.
That makes sense.
So that'll probably be adjusted a little bit.
No, I think it's fantastic to have that level of detail.
And that's a half a month, because like Mosley works at junior high, so if you wonder why the junior high has nothing, he's been more patrolling around than standing at the school with no kids. So, but it'll get better as we go along each month. So.
Well, hopefully it stays at zero.
Oh, yeah, no.
What is crime initiatives?
It's like, I took it from Houston PD. It's a Houston PD term. It would be something like a self-initiated investigation. Hey, there's some kids out here in the parking lot. I went out and investigated that myself. It's not necessarily a call to dispatch. It's more
checking things out.
And safety checks, I've basically told them I want them physically walking the school. So if you see that large number on there, that's what that is. Not just, hey, I walked to the cafeteria. No, I want you to walk to school, check classrooms, check doors. That's what a safety check is. A purposeful going around and checking the building every day.
So part of that's for your monitoring purpose as well as a worker.
Okay. Yeah, and make sure they're doing what I want them to do, so. Do what? The crime initiatives? The traffic, did get some.
There's only two safety checks.
Oh, well, and Stacy has been helping me. I am not gonna lie, I've pulled her away from Piney Woods to do background checks. We've had some reports that we had to handle this past week. That I needed her on. Yeah. I've been stealing her, so her productivity, Piney Woods, is going to be down. So.
It's really cold in here, Dr. Burke. I don't know if it's. Is it just me? I mean, it's blowing my papers. Did y'all see that? No one?
Can you smell and taste?
Shush it. It's really cold. No, I'll be okay, but it's just. I may. If it keeps knocking my pants, I want y'all to watch. Hang on. I want y'all to watch. The big old fan. It is a big old fan there, Barry Welch. It's a big old fan.
That's called a big butt fan. That's too cool, though.
Yes, thank you.
Generic. Kevin, anything to add on the jacket?
See, look, I can't even hold this up.
I'm probably not going to have it. I don't believe they're going to be prepared, but I'll verify again tomorrow. That's the standard attorney report where they give us feedback on how much money they recovered.
But they backed it up almost 2 months.
Last year was backed up 2 months.
Okay.
The tax assessor? No, collecting tax and then the.
It's a line marker, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So
watch my papers.
Two pieces of that, different divisions.
Gives them more time to collect more taxes.
Right.
It'll look better.
That's for this meeting. Yeah, that was supposed to be last time, but now it's supposed to be this time.
They're the good tax people.
We're still tax free. Yeah, but that's just about not. We don't set tax rate.
I can't hear you.
Tax rate?
We don't set it.
We'll set it. We still have to set it, yeah. Yes, but we're told how to set it. The only thing we really have an option now is on our debt rate.
That's in this next meeting.
Yeah, right. It'll be in September. Typically, we'd have done it in August, but the tax appraiser, in order for him to certify the tax value of the entities, he has to get within 95% correct or value in the county, and he could get that. For us, at that point in time, he was at like 92%. But we've since gotten certified values, and we'll move forward in this next meeting with tax rate.
County set theirs this morning.
I know, that's what I was going to do.
Our tax rate is going down again this year, but again, it's because of the maximum.
Is it below effective or above?
It's going to be added if I start thinking.
That's good.
So really, you'll still have people with taxes going up.
Right.
Because the prices.
Yeah, that'll
place
for a few days.
Yeah.
Yeah,
same
all over.
Yeah.
You're not going to win.
CTE update.
Y'all have seen in Dr. Barnes' weekly updates, some updates of ours. I just got them in my hand. I got some other things to tell y'all. Submitted our Perkins 5 grant. We should get, or we will get $31,382. Normally, they'll come back and they'll add another $3,000 to $5,000 in there. So it should be around normal, around that $34,000 to $35,000 mark. CTE, kind of the big thing you guys worry about, or we all worry about, is our IBCs, our industry-based certifications. We are down this year, strictly due to COVID at the end of the year. And teachers out on stage for the spring and get to do them. We're finalizing still toxicology and CNA certifications just due to their industries weren't allowing testing. And now for the CNA or the cosmetology side of it, now they're opened up and kids are coming in working with the instructor and getting certified. CNA, those youngsters have started getting certified, and now that Pearson View's backed out of it, or they revamped, imagine that. They're able to get something from Pearson View and somebody else has taken over. So they're in limbo on a few of those kids, getting those kids finalized on it. But we're still going up in numbers there. We don't have to make that final input to our data until October. So when we do our fall submission, our beams. So hopefully those go up. An exciting thing is we have told our teachers or asked them and gave them input on looking at an industry certification per program of study. Put it in their hands where, hey, they get to choose which one's related to their field instead of out of where I tell them, hey, you're going to do this one, where they have a little more buy-in, where our students are going to get certain certifications. So every program of study will have an industry-based certification that's state approved. So we get it on our accountability. Plus, like our OSHA 10, for accountability, we're still going to do those. We're going to do the ones that are good for kids to go get jobs as well. But we have put it in our teachers' hands to get those certifications for them. Some other things are pretty exciting. We've been working with Lone Star, as y'all know, about our level one certifications. Ones that we have offered that students have already been able to do if they choose to do it. We haven't had many do it, or any do in automotive and welding, because we're able to do the welding in-house and get those certifications. Automotive, we just haven't had any students want to drive to Conroe and do that. Our machining level one certifications, that's a dual credit we do in-house. That first course, because we just started in the springtime, the math machining is finishing up this semester, right at the beginning, due to COVID, just like Lone Star, they shut down and weren't able to finish up. But Lone Star graciously said, hey, beginning year, wrap it up and get it. Luckily, all those students last year were juniors, so we got them all back. So they're staying in that pathway and able to wrap up. So we're wrapping up that first course, which Lone Star hadn't even started yet, so it's no big deal. So we're kind of being ahead of them. And then they'll start their second. course and then continue on the spring for their third course to get that level one. Some other ones that students are still able to take is a basic fire academy, the network, the Cisco network level one, accounting level one, business operations certification and marketing level one, the process tech, which is an AAS. We do have one student that's interested in that. He should start it this next year. It's pretty rigorous. They'll have to go down to Beltway 8, to that Lone Star College. Off Beltway 8, that's where that program is. And then one is two that is pretty exciting. We're going to get kids, and we're just now recruiting them for AutoCAD. Lone Star has been graciously, and it's never occurred like this in the CTE world especially, but they're doing whatever we need, how we need it, the way we want it, and serving it on a platter for us. They've all, for AutoCAD and EKG, it's all online, and they have graciously said, hey, when do you want our professors? It is synchronous, so they got to be online at that time. But if we're to say, hey, we need your professor from 9 to 10:30 on Tuesdays and Thursdays, they're making it happen. So those two programs, like I said, we're currently recruiting for the AutoCAD and EKG. We're going to embed that into our health science kids, our CNA kids, in the springtime after they take their CNA exam. It kind of just fits. It's fresh on their mind, and they can test out immediately when they graduate. It's the goal there.
What's your technology infrastructure? Okay.
As far as we're set, I've got a set of laptops that are high end, a card sitting in there that is designated to that.
Those programs don't require as much as they used to today in terms of horsepower.
No, we're good there. Luckily, I've had to argue with 5-2 Canal to make sure they don't get divvied out to the community, but that card is staying right where it's at just because of what it is and what's loaded on it to begin with. But
since you're talking about the CNA and the EKG, do we still do the pharmacy tech like we used to? Because that used to be tacked on at the end of the CNA.
No.
Is that not, that's not one
they
of the
They made that a little more rigorous. We'd have to have a different program altogether.
Like a separate different program.
Yes, ma'am. But
I just remember.
We figured like the EKG, if they want to play nice with us, and it's pretty cost effective for us to get those kids real quick, it's a good deal for them. They can go out and get a career in that to begin with and just keep adding their credentials on it. But it may change your mind and somebody just want to be a CNA and, you know, give them a little more employability.
So it's something they can do in like a month or two?
It's 30 hours on AutoCAD, and the EKG is a 30-hour program. AutoCAD is, I want to say, 3 to 4 courses. AutoCAD, to get that level one, you would have, or it's really their certification. It'd be a junior, senior year. That's what we're looking for there.
Like a scheduled part of their day.
Yeah. And what's good about, you know, the AutoCAD or machining or welding or fire academy is Lone Star's got that network to get kids hired that we don't. I mean, they just got it set up with those business incorporations that have helped in that. But accounting's also an online program. I mean, like I told our staff last week when we met a couple of times, we've already met a couple of times about this. I said, you know, if there's one thing positive come out of COVID, it's some opportunity that our kids weren't going to have and flexibility, and now they're getting that flexibility in there, that online program that they wouldn't have done before. They'd have made you come in person, and we just could never make it work. Now there's that option in there, and they're not going away from it.
Yeah.
So
I think, though, that some kids don't react well to some of it. You know, that they think it sounds, we think it sounds great because, look, you can do that. But then I think some of them, they can't sit for that. You know?
When it's not in person, they think it sounds great, but when it's not in person, they don't have that hands-on.
Well, I kind of am, too, and I'm good at academics, but it's really hard. And I think that we're finding a lot of kids that they thought they could do it, especially with remote versus face-to-face, and they don't want to come back because they can't focus. And I'm just wondering, we look at it as an answer, and we say, hey, why don't you have these kids who sign up? Because some of them just can't sit that long and manage. If they need a teacher to walk them through some of the stuff. I mean,
well, you know, that's anything. I had one of our new staff members when they were visiting. I want to do this, that. How do I do that? I said, well, it's driven by student interest.
Right.
We can only offer so much, and, you know, if they're not interested, they're not interested.
Right.
Now, there's easy ways to get them interested. If you're a kid magnet and you make it grow, they're going to be interested. But
even showing them the money or what can happen in the future,
right,
sometimes they're, unless it's interesting right now, they're not.
And then our construction on the backside CT building, they poured beams last week. They told me they're pouring, which I'm sure you have there, and supposed to pour Thursday, I believe, for slab is what the GM told me, or supervisor, superintendent, whichever he is, said they're supposed to pour Thursday, so it's coming.
Have you all, on the interior, you're the paint booths and all of the...
I can't hear you.
All the paint booths and tools and everything, have you all started working on that yet?
The paint booth, Darla and I, she's fixing to go out for bid on it, then we'll go from there.
Adam, get up. Go ahead. Go ahead. I wanted to back up to the industry certification specific to the area study. So what does that mean? So if they were wanting to go pre-med, they took certain classes, the student could research to determine if that qualified for a certification? Is that what you're saying?
Well, the pre-med, basically the program study we have is for health science, and we have 23 of them, so
But I mean, I'm just asking an example. Give me an example.
That's where we're going to guide those kids. And if you want to go pre-med, we're probably going to hit you up with a little microbiology. And in our new program of study, which we're phasing in, our freshmen last year basically started the new program of study that we're offering. And Susan can attribute this. It's kind of a guide. It takes a little flexibility out of it where those kids have a pathway. Theoretically, in my brain, is when you come in and Jackie Knott wants to say be in the health science field, or we're going to put you in that program of study, and there's a guide. You should have to research what class you're going to take next. It's, hey, my freshman year I take this, the next year I take this, and there may be some options in level 2, 1, 2, 3, and 4 that you take, but there's a pathway that you go and it stays constant. It ends up in a practicum that is the ultimate goal.
So two comments on that. One, I really think it's important that we start doing the PGPs again. And I know that's not, I know that that was, we stopped doing them by design. I get that. I understand that. And I get the reasoning behind it. But I think it is a significant disservice. And to that point right there, how would they know that there is this program of study in these 4 years that would align with pre-med or what have you? Because there's not a conversation.
In our ultimate goal in the recruiting side of it for students, myself and Dr. Boynton, and I'm sure Dr. Barnes will be in the middle of it now too, is letting those kids know. And when those teachers start to recruit Ms. Michael in CNA or whatnot, they know their program of study backwards and forwards. And when they recruit, they let those students know. To me, since we don't have the PGPs, that program of study, being able to lay it out in your course catalog, and you can look and visually see what track and what path we're going to go, I like it a whole lot better because it takes an interpretation out that may have been there that wasn't.
Would everybody go through that program of study exercise then, where they're actually going to have... I don't think that it's necessary that it has to be a sit-down, but I think that there's some loss, so there's some gaps that students don't even realize, oh, I didn't know I needed to take this or that, because there's not that plan. And I get it, again, I totally see.
Let me bring Dr. Barnes up to speed.
Okay.
So we used to do PGPs,
personal
growth plans, 2 years ago, I think. Was it 2 years ago that
we
stopped doing them, just okay, I guess because of
Well, my understanding is that they weren't getting a very good parent response, and so now they're having that conversation with the kid, and the kid's really not sure what they're talking about, and so it just wasn't super effective. And that's why I said I totally understand that, but I feel like there's got to be a way.
So she and I had a conversation, I don't remember what the date was,
campus.
Last week,
talking about now that we have Zoom capabilities and things like that, that may be an option. So I'll visit with Dr. Barnes and Odette to see if at least we can figure out a compromise or
And it, but if this program is study, if that replaces it, I mean, and again,
it doesn't replace it. It gives a guide, and I'm 100% agree with you. I think PGPs or whatever, student meetings, wherever you want to do it, makes no difference what it's called. I think it is beneficial for a student, especially a freshman coming, eighth grader, freshman, and then you probably get reevaluated their sophomore year too, but I think it's extremely beneficial.
And I'm going to stand on my soapbox because this is something I do every day, not every day, but... It's got to happen not just in ninth grade or in eighth grade. You've got to have a plan for the counseling curriculum for career-based information that starts from the time they're in kindergarten and you work up. So you talk about programs of study way before they're choosing their schedule. So you give them a career inventory. You give them all of those things that help them explain, because I'm telling you, kids know five jobs. They know lawyers, they know doctors, they know nurses, and they know what their parents do, and then that's it. So, but to your question, that has to be something that you just can't say, here's a program of study, because that's how it happened last semester for almost everyone in the state of Texas because of COVID. You just hand them, wait, you want to be a doctor? Okay, this is your plan. Here you go, here are your classes. Because most of the ninth grade classes are the same for every kid. But we're missing a huge opportunity, I think, to have a counseling curriculum from the time they're young, and you build on that, including the career. And then when it's time for them to choose their program of study, then they are aware of what kind of courses that are available, as well as what their final outcome is. And if they're only going to make $20,000 because they want to be hairstylist, then they get to choose if what kind of car they want to drive, what kind of house they want to live. All of those things are so connected. And it's not just us, but I think it has to be almost a class, especially in eighth grade, so that you're kind of getting all of the kids that same information. It's something they have to choose. So
I like that idea. Suzanne, that in the eighth grade, that makes so much sense, because really, you think about when you're getting your college degree, you have a map. I need to take this course, this course, this course, this course. This is what my degree is. This is, my major, my minor, this is everything. And you have a map, and you go by that map. I don't think there's a map right now. And that's what, and that's what happened with Honor last week. I looked up and was like, what do you mean you're not in dual credit classes? What are you talking about? And so, do you see what I'm saying? It was, but do you see what I'm saying? I'm a somewhat diligent parent, but for kids that don't have that even, and I'm going to say I didn't do a good job because obviously I should have noticed. But they wake up and they're like, wait, I didn't, I just went to whatever class they told me to go to. I didn't know, and that's what I think is missing. And I don't think it's anybody's fault, okay,
no,
first
last
off.
Year was just weird.
It's just that it's missed. We stopped doing it. And it's,
my
here
own,
I am.
I am, we're making a diet. We'll do some things.
Yeah.
When you say, they start making their career decisions in 7th grade, 6th grade, pre-MBA,
yeah.
That's to Suzanne's point.
Our PGP process started in 5th grade.
Yeah.
But I think the PGP, though, isn't the only issue, because it really is. It's the communication. I think you can communicate to fairly large groups of people about what their kids are taking. But I think when you do that, not all the parents show up. Mm-hmm. Because the PGP is just papers, and you can give it to the
parents.
That's
what I said. I don't care if it's necessarily in that method, but there's got to be a way it out for your student,
for sure.
And they understand.
But
and
if you're hearing it every year from the time they're in 4th grade even, or 3rd grade, this is what's coming up. If the state doesn't change the graduation requirements, then the parents will hear it enough so they kind of know. And the kids will.
But what if they do change the graduation requirements, right? Then there's got to be that communication. I don't care what you call it or how you do it. It changed and nobody knew. And, I was supposed to take a 4th math. I didn't know I was supposed to take a 4th math or, that sort of thing. So that's the scary part for me.
Yeah. It's all kind of intertwined for selection.
I know, right? Like, how could they do that?
How do you model on your CTE classes? Everything's online.
Do what?
I'm with Lone Star.
No, not all of them.
Well, and so the students say, a student, are they going to Keeneland or any
if,
other
if they choose certain programs, they, whenever Lone Star opens up, how, whatever protocol they have, yeah, they'll have to follow along
with that. Follow that schedule, yeah. Even if it interferes with their A day, B day, whatever.
And that's the problem, say, like your automotive and your welding, the lining up for our schedule.
But only math and science, right? Only math and science travel, right? That was the whole GPA conversation a couple of years ago. So we have professors on staff, on campus, for history and the other dual credits. Was that your question?
No.
Oh. I'm sorry, what?
Trades.
Oh, okay. I apologize. Okay. Okay.
On trades, yes, they're still going to have to.
Okay.
It would have to make, a student would have to make a conscious decision, I'm going to choose this pathway, and I'm going to have to give up this, in a bunch of, in the trade side. Like Fire Academy, they would have to consciously say, that's my career, the process tech, I mean, that's what I'm doing, committed. Just, I'm not going to play football, I'm not going to play basketball or cheer or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that some of that's just the choices they're going to have to take.
Yeah.
So the other thing is, the second thing I was going to say to that actually was just a comment. I like that y'all are doing that, and that there are, you know, the way I heard it, I even wrote it down, industry certification specific to their area study. I like that you're doing that because, you know, when we toured Duke a couple of years ago, one of the things they will tell students, and I'm sure there are other colleges that do it, is if we don't offer the degree, you tell us what degree you're going for and what classes that you would need. We probably have a class that would fit that mold, right? So you tell us what degree you want and you present a case of what courses we have that can make, can combine, be combined to make that degree, and we will essentially be able to offer it. So I like that you're doing that because I think that might be more of the way things could be going at some point where there's not a mold. And there are things that can be, I can take this over here, and oh, by the way, like you brought up last week, or last month, with that Dave Ramsey course. Well, couldn't that Dave Ramsey course count for this? So I really like that aspect of it.
So, Katie, you record this, you just compared my CT to Duke.
Yeah.
Wait.
What?
Did
you want to come back with criminal justice?
Criminal justice.
We have that going, yes. The intro course we started now. The principles of law enforcement.
Yes. Fire Academy's all campus, Fire Academy, Keeneland.
Yes, it's good.
Do you have any students in it? I didn't understand.
No, and then again, because the time constraint, I'm assuming you talk to students, it's a little long. It's tough. I mean, it's a good career to get into. Law enforcement's going to be a little tough to sell to a kid. But we've got, 55 students in the principal's course. Right,
can you now get us numbers? I'm not asking by then, but do you have numbers?
Okay.
Just because it's a combination of remote and face-to-face, there's fine.
Most, and on that, I can answer some of most of your advanced courses, there's not a remote option for them. They're in person. You know, say welding two,
sure.
One, two, your advanced machining, your CNA, your cosmetology, your practical. There's a bunch of those hands-on courses that those students have to come in person during their class time. Now, they only come during their scheduled time, but they're in person. So, any other?
What was the year's program look like this year?
Years? We got 11 students. They're getting in first.
They're in first in all, right? She's a rock star. I mean, that's one of the deals, man. It's weird because people shut things down. But that's hearing what those kids do and how they get involved.
I walked by ours today. I said, "You're back." And she said, "I'm home."
Yep.
They were excited. I mean, I didn't get their laptops up ready for them. Like, hey, look, you can sit and stare at me, or the ones that were in it last year, so you can go to your place. I'm gone. Boom. They headed over to the admin and they're ready to roll. So.
It was good to see them back.
got it going and schedules. Some of them weren't able to do it. They without being in person and being able to recruit and be able to, we had a few sophomores that applied and they can't do it yet. It's a few years in the field.
Next, we have this special education services report. So, Jennifer's not here this evening. Anyone have any questions or
Our students and they've been back, right? Our special needs students, they've actually been back.
That's what I was going to ask to see. And maybe, I think she gives us numbers every year, but I think it would be if she can kind of line them up side by side so we can see the growth.
Year over year.
I think for the board to see the growth in that area, because it's one way for us to keep something in mind as we grow, because that's quite costly.
And budgetary.
It seems not only to grow with the number in population, but it just seems to grow with time, the number of special ed kids too. And 504 kids, which really does take people away from their jobs. And it's something, I don't know. It's a way for us to look at money at some point when you try to present. Let's hire more people.
Yeah.
Why?
And Tammy, you were saying also a comparison of those that are have come back versus those are. That would be good, I think. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. No, I think that would be good. Yes, yes, ma'am. Yeah, year over year growth. Yes.
And behavioral, I think part of it too, like the behavioral kids, you know, that's a good point. And have, you know, the cost may be behind that, so we can kind of know the cost and then the number of kids. Of course, the names, right?
So, like some of our out of placement kids that are super
blind, behavioral, things like that. And it was another thing, and I totally flew out of my head.
27,000 a year for one.
And those can hit you when you, I mean, you know if they join your district as a transfer student, you don't know. But if they're with us all along and then
three.
More come.
We have three off campus placements. One costs us $27,000, the other two, $32,000.
What does off campus placement in that mean?
They're transferred to like a.
That's what I was thinking is when we can't provide that service.
There's special autistic schools. There's special blind schools for the blind, schools for the deaf, behavioral.
Gotcha.
Some kids
gotcha.
Can't function.
Gotcha.
And so they've been in trouble so much, you have to send them out or they'll disrupt everything.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, is that? I was using deaf.
There's just not options out there. One of our kids goes to River Oaks Academy. It's a special school. That's the one that's 27 miles.
Do we transport?
I think approaching special ed, Tammy, from a different aspect with questions like this helps the board see maybe a side of education that, you know, they don't see every day. Mm-hmm. Because all of that part of who we are. And
well,
I think those
things. Budget for one and two show up.
Right.
Three show up, four show up, and it's not a $5,000 plus, it's a $55,000 plus.
And the bigger we get with people from coming outside and they find out we have a great special ed program, yeah, people want your drugs because they care about their kids and they want them to get help. And then they have ARD meetings, and then we mandatorily have to do those things. We don't have a choice. So.
Wow.
So last year, my daughter, so we were able to see their training exercises. That was very helpful. So if there was some kind of way to help parents with seeing their kids interact with the practices, that'd be nice to have if it's in the world.
So if there's any way for parents to observe their kids getting these services, like for example in the summer, this talent is teaching more. And so we had those interactive Zooms with our speech teacher, and so we were able to participate with that and see. I don't know what other areas that would be feasible in, but
the speech, I mean, the speech right. Yes, that's a big one. Easy to
And how are we servicing the remote kids for special ed? Like if there's a case manager or like a co-teacher in the class, then they're available for questions throughout, like whether it's asynchronous and things. Okay.
Isn't there some UIL thing about that, Dr. Burr? Isn't there some UIL? Oh, in the book. Okay. I was like, I don't.
Not UIL.
Yeah.
That's a team.
More involved.
That's more involved.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I have two questions. Were you going to say something, Jack?
No. Yes, but go ahead.
Okay. One question is about buses. How many buses do we anticipate purchasing? Because they're always, it seems like every year we have one or two, and what's the...
Typically every year we buy two,
okay.
And if we can, we try to get through.
Is that pretty much just what we're going to do from here on out?
And I would say, you know, believe it or not, this neighborhood won't add to our transportation fleet because we don't bus. And if our growth is going to continue, and we're going to continue to have neighborhood schools, then it has less of an impact on the elementary kids. But it does have an impact on junior high and high school because they're going to have to do bus. So as budget will allow, we'll probably try to increase that number if possible. But they were pretty close to getting cut this time in this budget. So hopefully that will...
So it's just as budget will allow?
But we're buying We have two in the budget now. We're just holding off to see what the financial climate looks like till after the first of the year, make sure TA doesn't show up any surprises, because that's $210,000 if I have to get hands on it fast. It's there, but we will have two new ones in the loop if TA doesn't, you know, throw us a hand.
So if our ADA increases then, because we'll need more buses, we have more kids, right? So are we just adjusting, the ADA is taking care of the budget part of it to be able to get new buses? Okay, so that's,
yeah, and then that's always for us, with them and technology, in maintenance, those numbers are gonna continue to increase as we grow, because of either growth in numbers, growth in square footage, or growth in routes. Our biggest problem is hiring bus drivers. Last I talked to Darkus, we were down in six routes, six drivers. And her office staff tries to fill the void there. Luckily, you know, ridership right now is very, very, very minimal, so they've been able to do some adjusting without changing routes yet. But that's, you know, we'll know more in the next week or 10 days on what stable means.
And I guess my next question is one, COVID kind of cut off us looking at having extracurricular classes. I don't know, gave it that much time in the spring.
Like 3 weeks, I think. I think it only went for like maybe 3 weeks.
Our plan is to revisit that.
Okay.
You know, we didn't get a lot of data out of that, but it was spring. So our plan is to be able to get back to that.
Oh, seriously? Because we never really heard anything about it.
It started pretty slow, but it
picked up.
It's not that it was overwhelming. What's wrong, but it was.
No, but still.
Keep gathering the data. I mean, it wasn't a real quick, now it's like a part.
Yeah. Well, you almost have to give time for anything, for
right.
People to get used to anything to become
an
habit.
Take 3 years to make a business profitable.
Okay, so you know, you haven't stopped thinking about it. That's
good. No,
man,
just
No, I know there's a lot of other things to worry about, but that's something that I know, you know, we've talked about.
Yeah, that was something that was still, I mean, that right there is going to drive, once we get more kids, me, it's going to drive getting more kids involved, which was our ultimate goal. And I think, once we get that information, you know, it's going to make kids realize that they can get, you know, they're offering more things when they realize that they can be involved. So, I mean, who knows whether they can evolve to, but I mean, it's, to me, it's still something that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a couple of things. Is it just a typo that this is showing 2018, 2019 several times in here?
I'm going to be honest with you. I got it this afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah,
on the very first one, it at the top it says 2019, 2020, and then it says total miles 2018, and it's several places, 2018, 2019. But I think that we should have the data for 2019, 2020. So I think it's probably just she just didn't replace it.
She may have went back to 18, 19 data because it was a good full complete year.
I'll maybe check, because then at the top, then she does say 2019, 2020. So
yeah.
That was one. But then also, and I know y'all have explained this in the past, my apologies, but like we have some routes, Route 26 has 21 average daily miles, but then Route 9 has 96 average, and there's a several, 9, 15, and a few others. So what's the difference there? I mean, why would
the
we
route
have
mileage?
Yeah, one route that's only 21 miles and then one that's 96. Is that?
That one is way, you know, like White Rock.
Okay, it still takes the same amount of time.
Yeah, you may be going out there all the way. You're going Doc Collins, halfway down Doc Collins, and then going back in on White Rock all the way back to Gavin Gibbs. So it's just the length, it's the miles of the route itself. But, that driver may have a 5.5 hour day, and the other driver may have a 4 hour day, so they're paid by hour. It's a shorter route, and they're making less money.
So there's no way, because again, that's a bus only doing 21 miles, but the answer is it's because it's out there, and there's nothing else on the way or what have you. There's no way of rerouting it to where one's not doing 96, because that's a bus that's, you know, you're tripling the mileage on one bus than you are in the other, and that's what I'm asking. Is there, I don't know.
I don't know the answer on that. I know she uses a routing program through a computer software program that they pay for, and that's what designs the routes. So typically, it's on efficiency, but that would be a good question for her, and I'll get that.
Mm-hmm. You know, funding is mileage or ridership?
Excuse me?
Your funding is reimbursement or funding?
Mileage.
So, we'll get up.
The transportation allotment itself?
Yes.
Okay, it's all mileage.
Is there any way, this may not be appropriate for us to see, but on reports to kind of know where the issues are? Like, I like to see what's happening, you know, but then what are the future kind of goals?
What keeps her up at night?
Kind of, yeah, because I think if we have, even if it's just a projection or even if it's an opinion, and I don't know if that's, you know, something that anybody else cares about, but, you know, when someone comes up and speaks to us, like, what are the plans for the future? What do we need? What are the, because if we don't know what those are, budget-wise, we can't kind of think about, well, hey, I remember when she was talking about this, this is a worry as we grow. This
number one is drivers.
Right. Well, you mentioned that, but it's not in here. So that's what made me think about it. If you hadn't mentioned, you know, I think we see it is, but it's, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys, I got a 6 minute.
And that's kind of the conversation we've been having at all levels. And I guess if there's any good things that came out of COVID, it's COVID where I'm at. So that's a conversation we're having with principals, a conversation we're having with operations. So I think moving forward, we're having this conversation anyway, and it would be difficult to elevate that to the board. So that it helps in the planning.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yes, totally. I mean, and that's why I said I didn't know if it's appropriate, because I know they share that with y'all.
But I mean, if it has to do with like budgetary needs, mm-hmm. and planning, strategic planning, of course.
It doesn't do anybody any good to give you guys reports that aren't answering questions that you have in mind. So we want to tweak reports to fit y'all's needs, okay. And that's a perfectly good example right there.
I think the band director last time did a pretty good job. Like, this is kind of what we, our wish list, because mm-hmm. I think some, one of us mentioned it.
Yeah, here's my vision.
Right, that's exactly, yes. Yeah, that was good to see.
I think it's just one of our cousins. What kind of training do the bus drivers get for catching kids' hearts?
So I know the junior high took their process champions over there at the beginning of the year. So every campus has a group of teachers that are called process champions, and they kind of design how they're going to keep things going on that campus with regard to capturing kids' hearts. So I know Kent took those process champions and did a training with the bus drivers on those processes. There's also some other things too that we're doing. I'm not sure if you've done these. I get them all mixed up over the districts, but there are some that where they come in and do like a building champions day with your auxiliary staff. I just don't know if I think we were gonna do that, but I don't know if we did that. So I have to go back and do that.
That's a good question.
So, I mean, it's one of the deals taking up those bus drivers.
Yeah, but
they're the first phase.
They see the first phase, they see the last phase.
They see the fights in the back of the bus.
Would you like to see what they have been trained in? A listing to add to the report?
I'm
kids are crying out because they don't want to go home?
Her stories of, you know, kids just crying because it's time to get home, and, you know, if they're used to get home, you know, they didn't really want to go, so they don't feel the school bus, you know. But we get that information back from the school bus, you know.
See, I think that's part of what this handle the care stuff will address. It's the responsibility on our people to report those kinds of things.
Right.
So, yep.
Anything else? Okay, administrative presentations.
Dr. G, do you know what you're going to report on yet?
I do not.
Okay.
But, I promise I will report. Is there anything particularly you guys would like to know about?
Financial literacy.
Financial literacy.
See what we're at.
Financial literacy.
What Susan talked about last time, if there's still questions, you can address
that. So you'll have a follow-up on CTE and all that. So just where we're at.
Okay. Doing, and maybe this is something we can show them too, is we're the Schlechte Center has designed some modules that we're buying the site license for all of our teachers. And so one of those modules is how to engage your local learners. So that's one area that we're going to start with. That's just been one thing that we've discovered throughout the process is some teachers make it easier to access assignments this way. So there's things we're learning about how to be tightly coupled on certain things and loosely coupled with others. Another thing we're going to do, probably not this week, but as we get further to the first 9 weeks, is we're going to survey parents on campus.
That was going to be my question.
We know the feedback that we would get right now, so we're going to wait until it's been in a little bit. Because, I mean, we're hearing some horror stories from people a lot. It's a login issue, which was a class that our son was signed on. They were pulling and generating two different email addresses. And so we're figuring those things out as we go along. And so as we get further into the 9 weeks, we are going to do some surveys with parents and students to find out are we still having issues in these areas.
Yeah, I was going to ask how we're surveying students. That is, I'm just saying, because, you know, yeah. My oldest is, you know, I go in there at 11 o'clock and, hey, are you still, yeah, I've all done school, checked in all my, you know, and so I'm like, all right, this is still, to me, it's like, all right, that's not challenging for, you know, right. So I'm going to get his, you know, I'd like for him to leave his feedback about this is a good plus because, to me, in my opinion, I got so much work that I don't have.
I think that that's interesting to me too. I guess to see not only kind of an idea about how that's equitable, maybe for the kids at home and the kids, especially as they get to high school too. Because what I'm seeing where I work is that the teachers are doing Google Classroom and they're pushing that out to the remote learners, but they're also doing Google Classroom in the class, so it's almost like a remote in the class. So I don't know about the relationships. I don't know, because that stress on equitability, I guess, and not having more work for one group over the other, and how are teachers engaging? Are they getting more in depth when they finish in 15 minutes? And then the ones who are in the classroom are getting more instruction. You know, it's just that kind of thing.
That was brought to my attention last week, and it came to me before I heard about it. And you're going to probably hear about this, but just discovered it, where the teachers, not all teachers, but kids were coming on site, and the teachers would just put them on their device and saying they're going to do what the kids are going to do. So that defeats the whole purpose, because on site, it should look different. It should look different. It should sound different. And so we recognize that last week.
But I get it as a teacher, because then you're making all of these lessons. If you've got seven classes and you're making two sets of lesson plans for each, you know, I'm not saying it, because I think the teachers need to work harder. I think they're coming to ways of, you know,
I don't think
we're not
giving
them enough time. I'm just throwing it out there.
I thought that we had already pretty much crossed that bridge, because, and unless it was just the way I was thinking it was going to work, that essentially Jason's in class, and as I'm teaching Jason, there's a video or what have you, not that's being played, not streaming, but it's recording what this lesson is that they can then put into their classroom. Here's the lesson. You can watch it at 9 o'clock at night, but so that they weren't having to do double work. And was I making that up? I may have made in one of these meetings
because that would be the best case scenario, but the technology that it would take to do that, we don't have. I mean, you have to have high-res camera in every classroom. That would be awesome, because it flips the scenario Tim is talking about. I'm teaching my class. Those kids in the remote are watching it while we're recording it, because the async kids can watch it later and do it at home, and it's one lesson plan, one set of work.
I guess in my mind, that's what we were doing.
It would be awesome.
But then too, Jackie, if they're watching at 11 at night, when are they going to contact the teacher if they have questions? Certainly not at 11:30.
There's nothing we can do about it. Is there anything that can be done about that for those?
Make them work.
Oh, no. They would have all questions. Yeah.
And that attendance piece isn't figured out, then we're in trouble as far as the next time if they're not, you know, right? Because aren't we showing attendance based on engagement? Or
yeah,
it's just if they want. Would you mind talking a bit about that in the board meeting? Because I think that's a concept that's kind of, well, it's way different from, because usually if they're in their seat, we count them present. Mm-hmm. And that's a thing that I think teachers are probably struggling with. That,
see, Lance is so ready to go back to school because I think he was expecting what Jack was talking about. You know, hey, I get to see, I get some interaction, I get to talk to the teacher, and it's, you know, it's way better than it was from last year, but it's still, there's some of it that I can tell is challenging, there's some of it that I know that he's not. It's just, oh yeah, I logged in today, and got 5 minutes, and, you know, he's not really being pushed. So, and that's just something that's at my house. I'm just using mine as a example.
Yeah, how is that across the district?
Days is challenging for him. So they, like I said, I mean, at 10 o'clock in the morning, he's in there playing PlayStation, and I got to kick it off a little bit.
And the other thing to remember is we're 3.5 weeks in.
Yeah.
Major. Like, there are some things we're going to have to figure out. Yeah. That's part of why we're doing this, like the center stuff, and probably our teachers understand how to do that and make the, we're still doing the design work with them, so we're trying to make the, you know, all that stuff still is there. It's just, there's an added component to how we're doing it. So, yeah, I mean, I talked to Diana today. We've got 1,300 kids, I think, is what her counts are, and 1,000 of them are coming back.
I was curious about that. I was really curious about that.
HISD crashed their server today, and they've got 12,000 kids without a device.
Yeah. So, I just think we've just got to remember.
We don't have those problems.
Even our parents have to remember that this is new for us, too. And they're still driving about some of the same things they used to drive about. And, you know, so those challenges are really good. We need that time to...
Dr. Burke, I just want to know, why did we change the wildcat head? No, I'm teasing. I was going to the griping about other things. Okay, Dr. Gergerson, going back to your 2 points. But if some of the teachers are successful at just using their device, and you don't need a high-res camera and so forth, maybe that's an opportunity for them to mentor or show some of the others that, so that there isn't that duplication of effort. Now, I get the communication piece, but set it to office hours. If you did it at 11, you did it at 11, but tomorrow at 2, you can text me or email me or whatever. But anyway, my point is, maybe that would reduce the duplication of effort for multiple. Yeah. No, I understand that. I was just thinking that's a great yes, that they found a way, they were innovative, they found a way to make it work without the district having to put high-res cameras in every classroom that we just simply can't do. And hopefully, several months from now, we don't have to do it anymore. Hopefully in the second semester we're done, but, you know, that's probably being very optimistic. Oh, gosh, yes.
That's how school year was.
Yeah, I don't think things are ever going to go back to the way they were.
Dr. Burke?
Yes, ma'am.
Just,
we had that conversation.
Can we move on to 6B? I can't accept it. I can't. I just can't. It is. It's too much.
Who was I talking to the other day? I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were like, there's probably going to be a lot. Yes, I think that we're seeing more and more people leave. And I was telling Suzanne on the sidebar, this Thursday we have our first BLT in person since March or since February. And one of the things we're going to talk about is how to deal with, you know, the stress and the mental maintenance on leadership. It's a real thing. Now that you think about this, it's been nonstop on since March. Since March now, there has not been a day that we haven't had to process new information or figure out new ways to do things and say, it's like, how do we deal with that as a school district, as leadership, as teachers? And so it's something that's constantly, yes, I think that we are seeing that in the profession, right? Probably get us some numbers.
One of the saddest things I've heard in all this, I heard today in Brian's meeting about FTEs and such with the principals. And Carrie has run a survey of her staff wanting to know what they think. And she read verbatim off that one teacher's comment. She said, if we continue with this same method, then I'm afraid this is the last year of for me to be in this profession. She said, can't do it. My husband wants me to come in and pack my room up today and leave.
Yeah.
And I just hope I make it through the year.
And I understand that.
She's not the only person that thinks that.
Yeah. But don't you understand it? I mean, I cannot accept that this is the way we're...
teacher doing things to take the load off herself.
Yes, yes.
We've got to give them, hopefully that spreads. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in this position.
No, it's unreal.
That's the thing, it's like modules to help them, but then that's more, they might see that as overstuffed. I don't know. I worry about that.
And that's the thing. Like, when you have a new environment, new context, you can't do all the other things that we used to do and all the new things that we have. So we got to figure out what we can abandon and what we can let go of, because these problems aren't going away.
Yeah,
so how do we build that in again?
I'm going to have to go, Susie. Okay. So just keep going. But at 7, I'm going to...
No.
Okay. So...
Sorry.
We can kick that to death.
Yeah. Construction projects, Kevin.
I'll have a full report for you guys on that. Luckily, those things are winding down and starting to clean up. I'm hearing rumors about mice in this building. Yes, we have mice in this building, and we're all over it. They just haven't moved out yet.
Yeah.
You need to get some ag kids over here. Just stomp them.
Well, how rude.
I mean, that's...
They have worn out their welcome. Get out.
The bloody trap with no mouse in it kind of stirred up a little bit. So that's...
It's such a pretty building. No. Can we freeze them out? Because you're freezing me out.
Well, I told
I'm freezing.
We dropped off a half a dozen chicken snakes.
Yeah.
And
I think they'll take the mice.
We'd have another animal in a couple of months to come get them, and then we'd have that retired Captain Safari dude come get the bongos after that. So everything would be fine. Process.
Hey, I just had a very quick question. So the bus loop behind the high school, does that no longer exist, or will
no,
it no?
It's just different.
It got moved a little bit.
It's smaller.
And so
it's there. It just jogs around the new building.
Okay, and so, but when all this is done, you'll open up that road again, right?
It's open.
It
the
is?
The buses are used, but it's not so tracked.
Okay. Thank you.
It's open. We only allow the bus traffic to go through there because some of those soccer moms are
maybe some 16-year-olds too. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You are my... I mean, I immediately felt it. I immediately felt it. Thank you. Okay.
Did you want to scan that and see any other questions?
No, I mean, keep going.
COVID update. So I know Dr. Barnes has been working hard with Mr. DeBrock on developing some COVID flowcharts. So one of the, just so y'all know, I know I've had some sidebars with some of you about this, but every time we have a case, There has to be an investigation. We've got to establish close contact. We've got to report every case to the health department. We've got to figure out if it's an employee, if they have siblings, who those siblings interacting with. And I've shared some of that with you guys, and I won't share everyone. We're going to get more cases as more kids come back. But one thing I would like, if he doesn't know, this is just me telling him for the first time, is to maybe share some of those flow charts and some of the things that we're doing. Because there's two sides of it. There's the personnel side, the teachers that Brian's handling. And then there's the student side that Dr. Barnes and John are handling. And but some of those things bleed over. And so it's just a process. And we can give you guys an update on how many. You know, I don't know if y'all looked at Conroe ISD. A couple of districts have dashboards where they're putting their information about how many cases they're having. So the teacher and I talked a little bit about that last week. Kicking that around, and if that's something we need to do, I don't feel like we need to do it yet, but if we start to see more cases and things like that, maybe we will. But y'all need to let me know if the information I'm providing you on what we're doing, in terms of the letters we're getting, we're trying to make sure those things are all consistent. So if there's other things that you want us to provide, if you're not getting enough information from me, I'm just trying to give you guys info ahead of time so that you know, people ask you in the community, why are they doing this so you guys know what we're doing on
Quick comment, though. No, I was just going to say thank you because I read that today in one of the reports. I guess it was in the board bulletin about Dr. Barnes doing the workflows. I'm a huge fan, but I work in software design. So a workflow that if then else will expose your gaps faster than anything. Well, if they said no here, then what was next? And so I love it. I love it. I love it. I think that's going to provide so much clarity, and it'll help you guys. Well, one, you're going to realize, oh, wait, we didn't think about that case. Okay, so we got to go, you know, revise it. But exactly. So you're going to think about, have to get, so you're going to do your 80-20 rule at some point. This is the standard case. Those are the exceptions. But anyway, it'll expose gaps for you, but it will also give you a very standard response anytime there is a parent or this is how we identify, this is how we work through this, et cetera. I'm a big, big fan of that. So I think that's fantastic work that all of y'all are doing there. Good job.
Anything else? I just got a text from Ms. Archer. She said, just wanted to let you all know we had a great day today. We're so impressed with kids wearing their masks, social distances, and complying with what we asked them to do. So she just said, really well.
Except on or not.
But I think it did help to give the high school that additional 3 weeks to get ready for these 2 days. So, yeah, we've had really good success, I guess, with kids being compliant wearing their mask. We'll see how that works on Friday night, football game. So,
was it resolved with the parent who was adamant that?
Oh yeah.
It went okay.
The dad here?
Yeah, the dad here.
Yeah, he's good.
He's good.
We talked and came to a common solution, and his kids are actually wearing their masks. He has a temporary storm, and I've got him some Wildcat masks.
Good.
He's a little bit more
than a bit.
So, yeah, he's fine.
Good.
He just needed to be heard.
Yeah.
His issue was not with us.
Not with us, no.
Yeah. All right. You know, there's some new Facebook group about Texans Against Masks or some face coverings or something like that. I don't know. I'm not a member, by the way. I just saw it come up.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's other things you want to know. Employee handbook policy change. That's the staff about political statements, and so we'll have that drafted for you all as an action. Are there any questions about that? I shared that when I shared with y'all what Stephanie had sent us a while back.
I don't know that I saw that. Yeah. Did I see that?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know that I've seen that, but
I will resend.
Thank you. Yeah, it's very possible I just missed it.
No, we don't have the actual policy, but we'll have it for y'all to adopt. So it just as we head into this, it's got to be across the board. So, anything from the consent agenda?
pulling out, or?
No, I'm just wondering, do you have questions about the consent agenda?
Oh, no. I mean, I don't. You guys?
I just want to make sure you know that, because the last couple of times we've had something that wasn't clear.
Well, maybe because I didn't read it
well
in advance enough and pick it apart until
sure,
it happened.
Kate and I make sure to move everything out of the consent agenda that wasn't.
Other than the minutes, yeah. Financials, other than the regular stuff, right? Okay.
So action items, pretty simple on this one. And we'll be here again. But I think we'll be set up a little different. I think we're going to be on the stage next time. We'll have some mics. Because we're man long. So we'll be able to, we'll be here for the regular meeting. Election order, no election.
I don't know
how long it's been since that's happened.
Wow.
You know?
First time in mine. First time for us.
Because either you or we have had.
But I mean, in any of their years, this is the first time since we've been on the board that there's not been an election.
Yes.
So either people think we're doing a really good job or they want no part of it.
If I were them.
I was thinking about that. It's true. Yeah. Okay.
And then the tax rates, those are just moving from last month. I did send you guys an email. I don't know if y'all read it last week. It was attached, or it wasn't attached, to the board bulletin on my part about there's a couple of workshops that we need to have in the fall. And so in an effort to limit the amount of meetings that we have in the month, I would like for us to consider in October and November doing the agenda reviews a little differently. I don't want to add the agenda review on to the workshops. We'll be here for 3 or 4 hours. So I'll send y'all some options on some things that we can do. But we'll still get y'all the agenda in plenty of time if y'all want to do a Zoom or something like that. I don't think y'all want to be up here 3 nights during the month. Right? And we will try our best
to
not put any action items on the agenda review.
Yeah, that's the only thing is
that,
yeah.
We just had to do this one because we can
Yeah.
So the workshop in October will be on some of the things with, I think somebody had asked about a financial update. We're in House Bill 3. We'll talk about the student fees because there's some things I want to ask the board. I'd rather do it in the workshop format. Just making sure we're approaching it from a, you know, what's the end in mind, some of this. And then we'll have an HR update on some of the things that we've done and implemented. For some of those, you look shocked. So we'll have an HR update as well, and then we have to do a required training in November, actually by January 31st, we'll look at November for the outcomes-based things through Region 6. That's a 3-hour training, and it can be done on Zoom. So that's just, we have to do that.
Can we maybe, how you used to send us the dates of things, far in advance? Because if we have those things coming up, that helped a lot. Especially if we need come November, December, those dates really start happening. You know, that would be great. Do we have dates for that? For those?
We did. I don't remember off the top of my head what the October date was. I put it in the tracking chart.
That sounds right.
So growing up eating the tracking chart. That's what I texted you. Was the tracking chart. We update that every week, so we're trying to. So hopefully that's beneficial.
Yes. Yes, okay. It is. Oh, yeah, I have October 26th. I have a workshop written down.
Okay.
It just says workshop. Tell me come on.
I don't
want to
put this stuff. She sends it over.
Do you have a Google Calendar app? Yeah, I would just download that. Just download the app. I mean, it's popular. I'll show you.
So then that's why I don't like this candy stuff.
But other than that, I'll...
you don't have to get to the root of the problem that fast.
So one more thing, just Friday night, we've sent out tons of updates about we'll have... It's our first home football game, so we've got the bleachers marked. For capacity, I know Chief will have a lot of officers there. We've got signs up, masks required. We're going to make sure we monitor our students. I'm not having people go up in the stands and tell Katie to put a mask on. We re-released some stuff today. I know that Dr. Barnes and Chief Weatherly and Diana have been working really hard on that. We'll make announcements throughout the game.
What is the place on that? And I'm just asking, there's somebody running around without a mask on, that's kind of really jeopardizing.
Yeah. The thing that we need to continue to communicate, and I'm going to cut you off, is please mask up so we can keep school going and we can keep having business. Because at the end of the day, if people aren't following that, and it's mostly adults, then they're going to jeopardize all the things we have going on.
Are we
going
to do a zero tolerance where if you don't have a mask on, you have to?
The other night, they had a mask monitor.
They
and
did.
She was diligent. She was really diligent.
Yeah.
Hey, as good as things are, we don't, there's so much at stake right now. Buzz, you know, Buzz, make the same
thing. So I can tell you what the UIL put out. What the UIL has put out is that the district executive committee or the executive committee at the state level can sanction the school district. Now, they haven't really said what that means. If that's a forfeiture or if that's shutting down, because they're getting hammered in the media because people are filming this and looking for ways to exploit, like, oh, they're having this, or coaches aren't wearing their masks. They actually had people watching across in the UIL, watching different games because they're all live streaming now. And I talked to Jamie, and he said it was everywhere. So we've had a conversation with our coaches and cheerleaders the other night. I had to make sure they were wearing their masks. And we have to focus on what our coaches and players are doing and what our students are doing, because they're also throwing student sections.
What the parents are doing? How can a cheerleader cheer with a mask on? Yeah.
It could be opposing
while
teams.
While they're not cheering.
Okay, while they're not cheering. Oh, okay, okay.
Yes.
So it's like, how can they do
and
this?
So they've also got officials looking for those violations. Because here's the deal. I remember 3 years ago, we got a complaint from a Kingwood parent because the announcer for us was being too partisan. So now let's say we go to it and we have a game, volleyball, basketball, whatever, and we win it, and then a parent complains to the district executive committee because our kids weren't wearing masks. That will happen if people are playing. So we have to do our best to make sure our kids and our coaches think we can control if they're wearing masks. I don't know if, you know, what we're saying is if you're with your family and you're socially distanced, we're not going to make sure, we're not going to do that. I just don't have enough people to do that. And so but I can't, with our kids, I know if they're sitting with other kids, that's not their family. So we can control that to a greater degree. So I think we just have to do our best. We have signage up. You know, it was very different at Chapel Hill than it was in San Marcos. In San Marcos, they were very diligent. Chapel Hill, not so much. I mean, they had it, but they weren't going around and telling
their side was more.
Yeah, their side was more masked up. And so I think we just have to do, you know, our best. We've got to do it four times. And we've got four home games. The interior stuff is fine. Volleyball, basketball, that's going well. You know, I know that our officer had a couple of problems with people at the JV game the other night. But again, if y'all could continue to push that message with the people that know you, like, please do this so our kids can keep competing. Like, I think that at the end of the day is what we have to continue to push. But I don't know if I answered your question, but
yeah. Just for me, I mean,
I don't know what the fair next week, what we're supposed to be there. What? No mask?
That's their.
Huh?
They're from UIL.
So they're saying they're not requiring it, but they're recommending
it? No, I don't know yet. I haven't said it. Yeah.
I'm wearing my
mask. So. I was just going to ask are we done with this?
Yeah.
To ask about personnel, anything that's going to bite, anything that we need to, is it bad,
no,
good, indifferent?
Only,
it's not a big deal.
The only issue we have right now with personnel probably is that we may be overstaffed a little bit, or just moving some people around.
We're going to move.
So
we're going to move, and we're going to look at impossible remote teachers.
Like district remote teachers?
Yeah. But we've not made that decision yet. We're looking at all the numbers this week. We had 15 new pre-K kids enrolled this week so far.
Nine,
yeah. So we always know that after Labor Day is our final big push. Exactly.
But remember that people can change their mind through the end of this 9 weeks. And so
that's
something
different else
than what it's been in the past. In the past, by Labor Day, we would generally know, you know, where we were with class counts, but this is...
They're still part of our kids. The total.
They are.
Yeah.
But you can't do an in-class of 29 and a remote of 14, so you got to balance all that out and move kids around, move teachers around. So
exactly, and you know, the key is through all of it, you know, those 29 remote kids, you know, at the end of the 9 weeks, 15 of them could say, we're coming back
in.
And then you got to reshift.
So are we going to survey them so we know who's coming back at closer to the 9 weeks for planning purposes?
That's a discussion we definitely have to have.
Well, what we're seeing is progress reports, grades, once they see that if they're not completing their work, that's bringing more kids back.
Right.
So, but, maybe we can.
It seems like, I mean, because otherwise, how are you going to plan? Yeah. You don't know how many kids are, of course, the kids here can leave.
We might have this the whole year.
Yeah, I know, but still.
We're not seeing too many leave to go remote. We're seeing
more coming back. Yeah, that makes sense. All right. Anything else?
One thing I want to add, I'll add to the agenda is an Education Foundation update.
Oh.
We're meeting tomorrow to kind of reconstitute the board. Everything. So Rowdy is resigning as president, so we have to have a so I need to put that on the agenda. But I've got it on my agenda. That's it for us.
All right.
Is there anything
good
we didn't cover that y'all want us to cover next time? Just email me.
7:13. We're dwindling.
Yep. Hey, we got that. It's good.
Yes, 7:13.
Can I have this?
Yeah.
Just put it on my table.
That's perfect. Thank you.